Diamond?
No, mine's Clarence.
From downtown
Manhattan,
the village. My style's wild and you know that it's still it.
This snow bag's dripping and you're doing the buzz.
Shake your rope.
Back to the primitive. Fuck all you wanna be. You don't.
Welcome back to the Civil Disobedience Project. I'm adjusting the microphone here. Thank you for listening on July 4th. We know this is a big holiday, and particularly in Southern California, there seems to be a lot of things going on. And even back to our people in southwestern PA, Cannonsburg is representing big 4th of July. Cannonsburg, Pennsylvania. One of the Civil Disobedience Project posse members that's in the studio right now is from Cannonsburg, and as is my friends Mark and Josh, who do good tattoo work at this place called Independent there. But the biggest thing in Cannonsburg is what? Do you know?
Sarah's Chocolate Factory?
No, she says it's the Sarah's Chocolate Factory. I disagree. Perry Como. They have a giant singing Perry Como statue downtown that costs the town of Cannonsburg thousands of dollars. They have a statue, and it sings Perry Como songs. They wouldn't put up money for, like, a skate park for all the kids to, like, have something to do, but they put up the money to have a Perry Como statue in the middle of the center by the police station. I'm sitting at the stoplight in Cannonsburg one day, and like, I think I'm going crazy. I'm, like, by myself. There's not a damn person around in Cannonsburg, and I hear something singing, and I look over, and there's, like, a statue there, and I'm like, whoa, man, you know, what's going on? And the statue's singing, and I talk to some people, I'm like, does that statue sing? And they're like, yeah, it's the Perry Como singing statue. So, to those people gathered around the Perry Como singing statue today, we salute you somewhat or something. But anyway, we're going to get back to, I did mention, and Aaron and I were discussing at break here, what we're going to talk about first. And we chose Mumia. So, I'm here to talk about today that I did get into the SCI Green to visit, and I brought actually a visitor's guide. No, I didn't. And it's at home on my other computer, and I had it with me. I'm going to donate it to Kill Radio so other people can check it out, but we should be able to put it up online or something for folks. But what I did was I go in the parking lot, and you have to get your entire vehicle searched before you can even get into a maximum security prison, like the dogs and everything. And I went in, and we sat down, and Mumi and I had a visit, and there was a big popular misnomer that's going on right now, and that is that his sentence has been reduced to life, and everything has changed, and he has this new freedom, and it's all bullshit. Basically, he's still in lockdown 23 hours a day and 1 hour in, like, the dog walk. His situation hasn't changed at all. He said he's been very amused reading about how his situation is changing in the papers. Like, he's like, oh, wow. Like, he's like, yeah. He's like, he goes, yeah, I'm reading, like, the Philly Tribune. They're like, this is great. I have all this new freedom. He's like, but I don't see any of it. So,
yeah.
But, you know, I told him about what we're doing out here, and, you know, he was pretty pumped and had some interesting stuff to say. And some other people in there, I don't know if it's public knowledge yet, so I'm not going to say anything, but there's another individual, not Mumia, but someone there is a pretty articulate spokesman for the left and is quite an escape artist, supposedly has cancer in jail. And if you get, like, cancer when you're, like, in lockdown or behind bars, it's basically a death sentence because you have really
no treatment.
Yeah, it's total subpar. Yeah. They send you down there, particularly if you're an escapist, like this gentleman is, because he can escape out of anything. Like, he's like MacGyver. That's badass. Like, so maybe it's all a front. I hope it's a front. He disappears one day. Like, he's just, you know, getting cancer treatment. And boom, he's gone. That would be cool. that's what I hope would happen. But I don't know. You know, we'll see. So I'm interested to see how that goes down. And I'll check and see if that's public info. If it's not, I'm just going to kind of let it go. If it is, then I'll give you the website and stuff where you can get more information, because he probably would need a hand. But it's a former Panthers, you know, all good stuff. I also met with another one of my friend who, the folks, everybody knows that listens to the show, pretty much knows the branch of the Gorilla Underground, and I'm a lot of the guy who does Gorilla Underground art, Todd Tarcelli. We had a chance to visit Todd, who's a very outspoken, like, Asian activist, and we always have a joke about this. His name's Tarcelli. But, like,
it sounds like Italian.
Yeah. He says, like, they go by his cell and they read Tarcelli and they look in and they're like, what? You know, like, see, there's an Asian guy in there. And they actually think he's so scared of he was sewing something together as a gift for somebody one time, and they accused him of making a ninja costume.
What?
Yeah, they accused him of making it. He was written up. He showed me the paperwork. They accused Todd of making a ninja costume to try to escape with. So Todd was in, like, solitary confinement for making ninja outfits.
He's gonna be an escaping ninja.
Yeah, they're like, shit, he watched a ninja flick and listened to some Wu-Tang Clan or something. Now he's an escape artist, which is really funny.
Wait, why was he making a costume?
He wasn't making a costume.
What was he doing?
He was sewing, he's an artist, so he was using fabric and sewing something together, like, as a gift for somebody that he does for different things. And it turned out that they determined that was making a ninja costume by the two pieces of fabric he put together, which is pretty interesting. But so there was a lot going on down at SCI about the same kind of stuff. And if you ever have any questions regarding, like, the prison industrial complex, feel free to email it over to the Gorilla Underground, tomjode@gorillaunderground.com. We'll see about getting it answered for you. We're also going to, pretty soon, the person sitting next to me is going to be taking the show over for, like, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, 3 weeks.
3 weeks or something. Because I'm going on tour, and I won't be here. I'll be driving through the Southland, which is fun. and I drove through the South on the way here. yeah, it's great. So I'm driving through the Southland, and I have dreadlocks, for those of you who don't know, and the two guys in my band are from Argentina, so we're going to be, like, we're like the Rainbow Coalition riding around in, like, in a van.
They're gonna have signs posted before you guys get there.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. Like, I can hear the conversations now because I already saw them, because I just drove across the country, and I walk into, like, a rest area early in the morning, like in Utah or something. Well, Utah's not in the South, but it might as well be.
It's Utah's
the South. In the Adam Reed make of the world, Utah is the South, and they have the Mormon sect there. Yeah, exactly, they're hardcore too. Like, and I walked in, and I swear it was almost like I was looking at somebody from a different planet. Okay, Civil Disobedience Project Posse in the back of the room, Mindy. You remember when we were in Utah and we walked into that rest area real early in the morning? You got to talk here.
Yes.
Okay, and did you go in or were you still asleep in the car?
I think I was still sleeping.
Yeah, well, for those who don't know, we walk in, and there was, I walked in there, and first thing that scared me was there was a family of four people. It's like 2 a.m. There's four people standing there, and they're all dressed the same. Like, and I'm talking like kids, like they had kids in high school, and they all had the same sandals, the same shirt, and the same shoes, and the same hat on. And they were all standing there. I was like, what the fuck kind of Twilight Zone shit is this, you know? And I'm like looking at them, and they're looking at me, And we just had, like, this weird thing, and like, they're like, move the kids away from me. They're high school kids, mind you, not, like, little kids. They're like, move away. There's, you know, this crazy guy's there. And then you walk up to the counter, and there's, like, this dude with, he was, like, a 6'4", like, tall, lean cowboy with this big white cowboy hat on, this giant, shiny belt buckle. And he had these teeth that, like, he couldn't even get his mouth around, like, and they just were whiter than white. And he just stood there, like, looking at me. And, like, and it was, like, he and I mean, it was, like, first contact, like, because we couldn't have been from two different planets. Like, it was I don't know, what the hell was that movie? Close Encounters of the Third Kind. There's me, you know, from my world, and he was there, and we just kind of, like, looked at each other. And there was just this weird silence going back and forth, because I'm sure he was just as confused about me as I was about him. And then the family behind us that all wore the same clothes, and, like, it was just the weirdest thing I've ever seen. I was like, dude, I got to get out. Yeah, I was like, I got to get out of here. Like, what if I never escape, you know, or they steal me or something, you know? Yeah. But let me go through this real quick before we go to the next subject. That's Mindy, who you just spoke to in the back. She's part of the Civil Disobedience Project Posse today. And Jeff is back here as well.
Hello,
too.
Jeff
is in the house today. And Jeff painted his toenails today.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, he has a glitter manicure.
It's awesome.
Blue pearl.
He's a total
Blue
feminist.
Blue pearl, that's awesome. We were just talking about that. So we want to make sure. It's hard, like, when we're in the studio and we're all talking, we want to make sure that everybody that's listening can hear the same thing that we're talking about, too, as well. And what we just play, we start out listening to Fight the Power by Public Enemy, Rise Above by Black Flag, and Shake Your Rump by the Beastie Boys, and Back to the Primitive by Soulfly. Did you get all that?
Yeah, okay. The Beastie Boys are awesome.
The Beastie Boys are great. I went on the way across country. I stopped at White Castle.
Oh no!
Yeah, just because of the Beastie. You don't.
Home of the onion burgers.
Yeah. And I don't even eat meat, but I went to White Castle. I'm like, I gotta stop at White Castle.
Did you eat the meat?
No.
Did you think of me?
What's that?
Did you think of me?
I thought of the one thing that could make me not a vegetarian. Is White Castle, like, not filet mignon?
But
not
you
like
White Castle?
Fuck yeah, it's White Castle, like, the greatest thing on the planet. Yeah,
I don't know if anybody's ate White Castle, but
they should.
They've seen the movie
Hardee's.
It doesn't look tasty.
Do you have Hardee's back south?
It's Hardee's. Yeah, it's not Carl's Jr. Yeah, it's not the Steak and Shake. Yeah, and it was pretty interesting there at the.
that's good food. I don't know about White Castle.
White Castle's great. White Castle fries only come in one size. Like, the Beastie Boys have so many verses about White Castle. It's beautiful. And everybody, I encourage you to go to White Castle and eat the food. I don't know why. Everybody I take there doesn't like it. They're like, this is disgusting. Like, shut up, you don't know.
So you went there, but you didn't eat anything.
Yeah, pretty much.
So you say.
Yeah. Well, I did. I ate one of their fish sandwiches, which is still, it's kind of like a sellout vegetarian move, but I had to. It was like the only thing. I was like, I'm going to eat a fish sandwich. Not that they're.
You
but
ate
anyway.
A fish?
Yeah,
the poor fish.
I know. Don't get me started. I'm a vegetarian sellout. There's like some vegan there sitting there. You pussy, you sellout.
We're gonna get like mad hate mail. Like, yeah, vegetarian hate mail.
There's gonna be a vegan kid like sitting there throwing. He's like, bitch. He's sitting there vegetarian, yelling at me and throwing stuff. And they're intense. I don't know if the young vegan kids, like, if I go like to anarchist convention or whatever, they're all over your shit for anything. Like, you could like walk around and they're just like, you know, and you're like, what?
Yeah, I've met some hardcore vegetarians in our time. We have stories, but don't want to pimp anybody out because I know we're talking about them.
It's funny. So, like, yeah, but I mean, you know, and I'm a card carrying member of PETA and stuff too, but you have to be able to make fun of yourself. You know, you can't make fun of yourself. You just have no business. But I love intense people like that, like, that are, they'll put you in your place, like, you know. But then I'll be like, dude, a plant's actually a living creature.
I feel like vegetarians, I mean, you're basically, I mean, let's talk about it. I mean,
food is the sun.
Yeah. If you're not eating the beef for whatever reasons, you may be a vegetarian, don't know your personal reasons. But, I mean, you guys are eating up all of vegetation. You guys are eating up all of our oxygen. Therefore, I'm going to start a movement against the vegetarians.
We're getting firebombed on the way home.
Yeah, you guys are killing the trees, you know, so you're eating our oxygen.
You guys.
You guys are serving.
How'd I get cornered, you know? Like, you got, okay.
Call up PETA.
we're getting firebombed. I'm gonna walk out of Kill Radio today. There's gonna be one of those vegan kids like, I heard what you said, Adam. Sell out, bitch, you know, like, blow me up or something. Yeah, no, I love that. But it's all about, to me, I mean, anyway, like, the whole circle of life, however you want to do it is up to you. I just, you know, I'm kind of high strung and tend to make myself all wigged out anyway, so I just don't eat meat. It's easier that way, unless I would kill it and hunt it myself, which in LA, if you're gonna kill and hunt yourself,
no.
I don't know where you're going to kill it.
Yeah,
out
I don't know. And then you'd have to wear,
I'll be
you
down
know,
in the
use,
park.
Yeah, use all the parts of the animals for,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and eat. And anyway, and you can't even go in the water, like, or anyway, it's just a whole mess.
So in eating, like, being a vegetarian, like, you, like, use the bark, you know, like, you have to use, like,
I'm
the
sure
whole,
you could.
Like, part of the plant that you don't eat, you know, like, make a chair out of the
Well, it
Sims.
Depends what kind of plant it is. I mean, if you're using a hemp plant, you could smoke the buds and you're using the whole entire.
Yeah.
You could make some rope, you could smoke some weed, which I highly encourage. And if for some reason you don't and you find, you know, a nice stash or something, just leave it outside the door at Kill Radio with my name on it. And you could give it to me, and donate to the Civil Disobedience Posse.
What is that Jake did? Check one. Check
What's
two
that?
With
yeah, check, check.
Check one.
Yeah,
how you doing out there?
Yeah, now I'm gonna get like pulled over.
Let's
on the
all
way
say
home.
Hello.
Yeah, in the Malcolm X autobiography, I used to get yelled at in Kill Radio for saying things in here when the thing wasn't running, because in Malcolm X autobiography he talks about being obviously bugged all the time, and he always is like, when he was talking to Alex Haley, he would just stop and like. Start time, he go, check one, check one. You know, you got your ears on out there? You know, J.
Yeah,
Edgar,
exactly.
And he would, like, mess with them, you know. And I'm sure it's the same thing. So now in addition to the nail bomb comment from last 2 weeks ago, we just added the marijuana comment, and we're now...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we're vicious desperados here at the Civil Disobedience Project. And I can't help to notice, but we have Janis Joplin vinyl over there.
Sweet.
Now, if you want me to pop in me and Bobby McGee on the turntable later, and we'll cut it up. That might be for another day. But anyway.
The Go-Go's right next to it.
Oh, no doubt. We have the Go-Go's, too.
Where's Wham?
I think George Michael's a genius. I wish he'd come in. George Michael, I'm going to give you an open invite to the Civil Disobedience Project.
Call in.
Come in. Call in. You're welcome to come in. And we're going to talk a lot about Wham, just so you know. And you're not going to be able to get away from that conversation.
You know, they should have like a celebrity death match, or like one of those boxing matches between George Michael and Boy George.
I'm going for Boy George.
I think
he's
Boy
vicious.
Boy George got size.
He does, man.
I'd go for Boy George.
He's got that like look about him, but I don't know. George Michael's got faith, though. He's got faith, you know.
He's not, man.
He has faith.
He pulls that out. And Fred Durst covered his song, too.
Let's not go into that.
Can we, wait, I have to stop for a second and talk about Fred Durst for a minute. Fred, we also have an open invite. No, my idol.
Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, Springsteen. I was driving down the road one day, and everybody in here is listening to Limp Bizkit, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Has listened at one
yeah,
time.
It's okay.
We all admit.
And anybody that hasn't, you're full shit. We know you heard it.
It was
you're
a summer craze.
Yeah.
It's been rammed down our throats.
Yeah, we heard it. For whatever reason.
My
we're just
going
to leave there. Yeah, yo. I'm driving down the road. I was on tour, and I was in New York City one day, and it was all strung out from the road, and we're... driving, and I'm listening to a Limp Bizkit song, and I hear it, and I was like, and I never really listened to a Limp Bizkit song. I listened to the words, and I'm like, my bass player and I were in the front, everybody else was asleep, and he's like, you can't mess with Limp Bizkit because you don't make rhymes like these, is what he said. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, okay, that's a bold statement. You know, I'm from an old school hip hop environment. Like, if you're not going to mess with somebody because they make rhymes like these, you better come up with something good to follow up with. And then he's like a chainsaw, and he'll rub your ass raw.
Yeah.
Was the next verse or whatever the song, and I'm like, those are the rhymes that we can't mess with Limp Bizkit because he's like a chainsaw that
skin
will
skin your ass raw.
That will skin your ass scar.
What is it if my day keeps
so
going
you're doing
this
well?
Way.
See, yeah,
undercover Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, yeah. There's all kinds of like, I mean, it may be catchy or whatever, but lyrically retarded it was. I mean, it's definitely lyrically.
Well,
retarded.
It has some nowadays. Like some of the stuff has to be lyrically retarded to be catchy.
Yeah,
like it's like. Sound. Yeah, because if you like your brain automatically clicks, well, that's lyrically retarded, and then like you remember it, yeah, like
ass
like the what is it the new
hear the music but they don't listen,
yeah,
like
exactly,
yeah,
it's like hearing
the No Doubt chorus of that song,
Holla Back Girl,
yeah, Holla Back Girl. See, it's ridiculous. Have you heard the No
Holla
Back
Girl?
Gwen Stefani is an official Holla Back Girl, so it's like it's really bad, but it catches in your head. They know this,
which brings me to another thing that is a Holla Back Girl, which I don't even know what that is, so I'm not even going to speculate.
Jeff, I think knows what a Holla Back Girl is. Because
I think our audience doesn't know this.
Holla Back Girl, like a booty call. On
like she ain't no Holla Back Girl.
Yeah,
like
you can't, like
she
you can't
ain't
just,
no booty call.
You know, get with her and then leave her.
Yeah,
you just can't do that
and expect to call her up next week.
That so many people would want to do that with Gwen Stefani,
right?
You know.
I wonder if she's like a chainsaw too. They could be like a whole.
They're probably yeah.
Great. We should just make a medley of lyrically retarded songs. Like
we
and just
should.
Have them like holla back. That reminds me of another. Okay, if we're talking about lyrically retarded music, I just saw the big news. Well, a couple weeks back was that Destiny's Child will not be going back on tour, doing any more albums together. And I was like, wow, man. There's.
Yeah.
There'll be no hits like Bootylicious anymore. You know, like
yeah.
You know, I'll be all right with that. You know.
Yeah. And like, no, he won't. He looks. He has a tear in his eye.
No.
Moment of silence.
For next week's show, I'm going to be giving Ariel a CD. It's a parody of I Need a Soldier. You know, okay. That Disney sounded. But this guy sings it in Bush's voice. He's like, if you're living in the hood, I'm looking for you. It's pretty good.
That'd be cool. Yeah, yeah, we need to get more stuff.
That they do the same thing as Disney Child, but it's Bush. It's supposed to be Bush. So it should be bringing that in next week.
Every time I hear like this, you know, I hope you're ready, and I'd be like, I'm not ready for this song. Turn the radio. Like, I'm not ready for that. Yeah, I can't do it. But we're going to get back here in a second. We got... This is a great thing about Civil Disobedience Project is it is mostly anarchist politics, but every now and again there's other things that need discussing.
Pop culture.
and I'm like, yeah, I'm up to my neck in pop culture. Like, I just, I'm very
it's everywhere, man.
This.
It's out of control.
It's definitely a United States thing, too. But we're going to play an old Faith No More song called We Care A Lot. It doesn't have Michael Patton in it. But if it did, I would be excited because I saw Michael Patton the other day and I was like... Ooh, there's Michael Patton. And, like, no, everybody's looking at me like, nobody gives a fuck in the room. But to me, I was excited because I saw Michael Patton, who's the singer for Faith No More.
Yeah, okay. So back to Faith No More.
Anyway, I saw him the other day, and I was like, yeah, you know, I was excited about it. And anyway, this is before him, and it's the song is called We Care A Lot, and I'm going to play it, and we hope you enjoy it.
We care a lot. try me.
We're back at the Civil Disobedience Project, and we just played Faith No More's We Care A Lot and Thunder Kiss 65, which were two long songs because they're metal-based, and metal-based songs are longer. They don't have, like, the punk...
Like, six-minute
yeah,
songs.
Yeah, yeah, you can, like, write a six-minute song, and, like... And no punk band writes six-minute songs, unless you're Mars Volta.
They're not punk! But
no,
they're not punk, so it's okay.
All right, I'm just kidding. They are. They're very
creative.
Innovative. I'm just messing with you guys. I had to throw that in there. Diss and Springsteen,
we're seeing them in a
month.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's they
not
are coming
really.
Well, we're back in town. We had a brief hiatus there at the Civil Disobedience Project. And like I mentioned earlier, we were at I was in southwestern Pennsylvania, and Ariel was in Axis of Justice training.
I was in Axis training?
Yeah. With Axis training, for those of you who don't know about Axis of Justice, very rigorous thing. Like you have to they take you to, like, the ocean, drop you out of a helicopter, and you have to swim. And then you have to, like, starve yourself for so long.
First,
and, like,
they handcuff you when they drop you in the ocean.
Yeah, yeah,
they
yeah.
See,
you have to
like,
take it
if
off
you'll
and,
break
like,
during...
Right, right. And then, like, Tom will snatch
torture.
You up and be like, okay, what's the third verse?
Yeah,
Bulls
exactly.
on Parade. You know it? You know
no,
it?
No, seriously. We went to, like, the first meeting. I'm not kidding. Like, we go to the first thing for Axis, and I'm just like, dude, I hope Tom isn't like... Or actually, no, I did. I think it was I wanted to be like, dude, this song, this verse, blah, 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 blah. Nobody talked about Rage. Nobody brought up Rage. It wasn't until meetings later that we felt comfortable that somebody blurted out, you know, something about whatever. Hey, Tom, whatever happened to the Rage Against the Machine action figures? And yeah, so
okay.
I did
right.
went to.
Was this after they dropped you in the water and handcuffed?
That was after they tested, you know, if I would break under
it's
torture.
It's very rigorous. So when the emails come in to Axis to ask, you know, all the things that you need to do, it's like, well, first. Well, I'm just kidding. Obviously, this is a joke because I know there's going to be somebody. Okay, we need to talk about a couple things. It's no, please don't drop off any weed at Kill Radio with your name on it. That's,
we don't do drugs.
Yeah, that's misnomer number one.
We do not do drugs.
There's not an Axis of Justice training camp. That was a joke as well. These are all jokes, and they're very important. But what's not a joke is I'm looking. I hope to get them in here. The 286 team was all over the place. I was in southwestern PA. Martina and Nikki were just in Israel. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah. I remember you were telling me they're going
yeah,
to Israel.
Yeah, they called us back.
How did it go?
We had a conversation on the phone that was like, it was a typical conversation I have with my friends, and
yeah.
I didn't learn anything. So, like, I hope to learn this week and, like,
yeah.
sit down and watch the video, and maybe we could talk about it on the project. Apparently, it went really well, though. So, and they
who did they perform for?
They were opening for Air Supply.
Okay.
You know who Air Supply is?
No.
Come on. They're like an AM radio, like.
No.
soft rock band from the late 70s and early 80s. No. Like, they sing songs like I'm All Out of Love. If you're in an elevator.
Oh, wait. I'm all out of love.
You know, or something.
I'm lost without you.
So next time you see Martine and Nikki.
Let's all just, like, go into, like.
That's how rock we are. If you, so you're just like, wait a minute.
We haven't always been metal. No.
Wait a minute. Which, again, those are the. Keep in mind, that's also the portion of the 286 project that was in a Hillary Duff movie, too. I am not.
Wait, so Air Supply is still touring? Like, do they have...
In Israel, apparently.
Oh, yeah. They're like the shit and stuff, maybe.
What about Pink Floyd's reunion?
Oh, my gosh. Did you hear about that? Yeah, I heard about that, and I was very, very excited.
Ain't that sweet?
Hopefully the tour may be in play.
Oh, if it was, count me in. I think that... I still felt slighted that nobody called me about the GA show. Like, nobody called me up and asked us to do it, you know? They must have overlooked.
They probably...
They just must have knew that they were in Israel opening for Air Supply.
Yeah.
They realized, oh, yeah, they wouldn't have been able to.
They're rock stars. They're in Israel.
That must have been it.
Yeah, exactly.
Bastards. But yeah, Pink Floyd, though. That's awesome. So maybe that'll encourage everybody to go and, like, drop acid and sit around and, like...
Well, this is, like, the year of the reunion.
Once again, not condoning that we have that.
Groups are coming together now.
Oh, wow.
It's like everybody from the...
Well, we need them, too, because look at what's going on.
Yeah, because the record industry, too, has really been putting out garbage music, too.
Like, a Flock of Seagulls came out and Arrested Development, they came back together.
Yeah, I saw Arrested Development. Yeah. I was so excited. I was like, that's awesome. And Flock of Seagulls, they could stay. That's cool, man. But,
Oasis. Oh, yeah.
Well, no, they've been together. They've been doing things, and kill each other, don't they? I don't know. Yeah, it seems like it's starting to be for press. It's like it's the same shit over again. But anyways, whatever.
That's great stuff right there. Yeah. So it's the age of the reunion at the Civil Disobedience Project. And we're going to be moving on to politics here in a minute. When we come back in the second hour, we're going to talk about the subpoenaing. It's not really subpoenaing. Just, you know, getting the records of high school students and how it ends
for
up
for recruitment.
Yeah, for military recruitment and how it turns out to be basically a profiling issue where it ends up feeding, like, the whole mechanism of war with poor people again. And basically it's just... And we're going to... Ariel's got the facts.
Yeah, definitely.
I see it. I see this. There's this big imposing folder that's highlighted for those of you who can't see.
I did my research so you guys have accurate information. And we have ways to get out of it as well, and links to Tower Records and NASCAR information for
NASCAR.
Adam. Yeah, it's pretty deep, Adam.
Wow. Yeah. I'm fascinated by the culture of NASCAR.
Yeah, he is.
I have friends.
He complains about going to the South and, you know, going to the...
But I'm fascinated. It's like a train
But he
wreck.
Likes
like,
it.
He, oh, yeah, I'm,
you need
like
to move to San Bernardino.
No. It's hot out there. I went up to visit at Axis Riverside event, and I went to Riverside, and it was hot. That's
but
all
that
I
was
say.
Honestly, that part of Riverside was more or less like the that wasn't the, you know, that was like the outskirts. So that was kind of really towny, really folky for me, and we live in San Bernardino.
It was hot.
But it is hot. It's hot, but we have, you know, pools and sprinklers and land.
TVs and everything.
Yeah,
you know,
TVs.
Over in the mountains.
Yeah, I bet. That would.
And we live, like, on the foot of the mountains.
Okay.
Like, we live, you know, right, whatever. I'm trying to make it sound cool.
It is cool. I'm not dissing it. I'm just saying. I'm fascinated with the South. Okay, I got one more thing before we get back to that. I was watching this Unsolved Mysteries, right? And they were talking about a murder that happened in Louisiana in the Bayou Country, right?
Yeah.
Back in, like, the 50s. And one of the key suspects, they were talking about him, and her daughter was, like, was explaining, his daughter is now older, but he was explaining what her dad was like. He used to sit on the door of his shotgun shack with a shotgun, and people that came up, he would, like, shoot at cars that just passed by and stuff, because he didn't want them in the Bayou Country.
Yeah.
Now, if you asked me what I thought someone down there looked like, I would have pointed that guy out of a lineup because I don't know a damn thing about it. So I'm like a victim of cultural stereotypes there.
Yeah.
But here's this guy that was taking pot shots at cars and stuff, and he wanted to kill people, and I was listening to him talk, and I was like, no, I was terrified because I have a show in Louisiana coming up. And like, I'm like, fuck.
And now he knows who you are, Adam.
Yeah, what if I get in the bayou and this guy shoots at the van? I mean, if he doesn't hit us, that would be cool. Like, and we had, like, just some bullet holes in the side.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
But if he shot at the van, then you would have this, like, historic guy shooting at your van.
That would be great.
That you were accredited to be shot at.
As long as we didn't. Because they said you would walk up to him and you would ask him a question, and whether or not he liked your answer, is whether you would get shot at or not.
Wait, like, why would you walk up to somebody sitting on the porch with a rifle?
I don't know. First of all, that would be my red flag.
I'm
like, if you look like you're from Deliverance and you're holding a shotgun and you're on like
Deliverance.
And you're sitting on a porch, my ass doesn't go anywhere near you. Like, I would be like, no way.
Go around.
It's southwestern PA. They think that I'm Chicano. And this is funny to everybody here, because...
How many are there? Is there
like
me?
There's Adam, who's not even
honestly,
Chicano.
No, in Waynesburg. I went to Waynesburg High School, which is where Mumia, the SCI Green, is actually... the prison is there. My graduating class consisted of... Here's going to be the ethnic breakdown for everybody.
Mm-hmm. I got one, too.
Okay. There was... Yeah, because you're from... Okay,
St.
Okay,
Louis.
Okay.
St. Louis, Missouri.
There was one African-American student... Two Latino students, and maybe like five Asian students, and the rest were just Caucasian white people. And so if you look different at all, like, they've got to put you in one of those categories. So I became Mexican somewhere along the way.
It's like in prison. You gotta side with somebody.
Yeah. Well, they just would call me that. That, like, when they hate me or something, they'd be like, you stupid Mexican. And I'm like, I don't know what to be mad. Like, you're just like, okay. And I'm like, I'm not... Okay, and anyways, but... And for the mix, I'm like this... I'm a weird mix of people. Like my last name's Corwin. You know, that's as English of a last name as you
can.
What
is it, Corwin?
Corwin. That's, like, so English. Yeah. Like, you know, I'm like... That's what I'd look at him. I'd be like, my last name is Corwin. I was like, the other half of my family's, like, Polish. I'm like, you're not even in, like, the right hemisphere.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but they don't know. Like, they're just like... And they always call me that. So, what's your breakdown?
Okay, I don't know about the graduating class, but my freshman year in St. Louis at Roosevelt High School, let me go back to middle school. It was eighth grade. When I graduated eighth grade, I was the only person of color there.
Wow.
So that was it. That was it in the city.
In the whole
city. I was the only Mexican kid. Everybody else was Caucasian. You go to high school, and then it kind of flipped out of like about 3,000-4,000 students. It was a really huge school. Graduating, or my freshman year, there's about seven people that were derived of any Latin descent. You know, you had Puerto Rican, Cuban, and then a couple Mexicans, and that's like anybody who's like Latin.
Yeah, they just put it all here.
And
then I say
about
3,000
was, you know, predominantly African Americans. Then you had, you know, I do not honestly recall seeing any Asian kids there.
Wow.
So, and then the remainder was Caucasian. But that was like in the inner city, in the heart of St. Louis,
wow,
off of Kings Highway. So anybody in St. Louis, if you know what I'm talking about, you know Roosevelt High School.
Wow.
You know it's a massive school. We had a basement and then three floors, and then it had a theater up on top. And this school was just really huge.
It's very cool. That's interesting. It's just stuff. Anybody can eat. Well, actually, we just lost our AOL Instant Messenger connection. It goes on and off. But, yeah, looking at, like, breakdowns like that are really curious. I mean, like, especially for those of us that are living in, like, the Los Angeles area right now, it's almost unheard of.
I mean,
so, like,
diverse.
It's so, like, I mean, it's just a very culturally vibrant place. So many different types of, like...
Just in California, I think, period.
Yeah, this whole area, you know.
Okay, and in St. Louis, it was, like, you know, predominantly African-American. You go about 30 miles south to DeSoto. I used to live in DeSoto. I mean, you wouldn't see anybody of color out there. I mean, I used to feel weird because I used to help work on a ranch out there, and it was just all predominantly Caucasian, and it was very, you know, very Confederate people out there.
There was a little
town that everybody knew as, like, you know, there was a lot of KKK members there. So me and my mom, you know, being Mexican, we wouldn't even pass through that town because we knew that there would be a lot of racism. You know, they still had back in was that 97? They still had little towns like that that were still like segregating people from their town. Like, you know, you can't come in here if you're of color. It was still very racist, and the tension was still very high back then, Midwest and back south.
Well, I could speak from example, like the where we were in Waynesburg, PA, which is another reason why they have a prison industrial complex there. We did a like an anti-war kind of benefit, like a peace vigil, you know, uptown on the courthouse steps. We had a concert and stuff. There was more people for the Ku Klux Klan rally than there was for our show we put on the courthouse wall, which is really, like, kind of bothersome, you know. But when they had a Klan rally, they come out of the woodwork. Claysville. Is that Mindy? Claysville, PA is where the big active Klan is in southwestern PA, which is almost on the West Virginia border, which is a couple miles from the Mason-Dixon line. So, yeah, I mean, and if we look at, like, the Klan, for example, look at Mississippi. Did you guys see in the paper that they just convicted that guy that's, a 1,000 years old now? Now they convict him. They're like, see, we're not racist anymore. We wait till they're 85 years old on a respirator. Now we're going to put him in jail and show him what's up. And it's like, I mean, I have mixed feelings about that.
Something that's so ironic with the Klan is when they have protests and march rallies, you notice that police are always protecting them. Because they know where, you know, their standpoint.
Well, those police, you know, are from that town, yeah, so they're obviously, you know.
But it feels the other way around. When people have, you know, peace marches, people, you know, the police are trying to attack them. Like, you know, let's eliminate the peace and let's protect the guys who are out for the violence. It's just irony right there. It's just a bit ironic.
Oh, I have only one time ever, and I'm going to give a cop credit. I don't give him any. This doesn't happen. Like, Minnie's in the back of the room going, oh, shit, he's giving a police officer credit? Okay. I was at a peace vigil, and I was talking, and I was attacked by a redneck gentleman with his hat on, screaming at me about, I don't know, something incoherent. He was intoxicated about being a pussy. I was probably a Mexican pussy, I'm sure, and all kinds of things. And he was screaming at me, and he was like, you know, you need to go to war and find out how to make you a man, and like, you know, what are you guys doing, blah, 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 going on and on. He was like just all over me. We had it on video. It was pretty funny. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just was talking right back to him. You know, I'm not Gandhi, so I don't believe in just sitting there taking ass beatings from people. Yeah. So I'll just go right back
pacifist.
At people.
Right.
Yeah, and the Civil Disobedience Project is not a pacifist show. So no. If you're so the again, there's gonna be that vegan pacifist gonna be sitting out in the parking lot ready to fuck our day up.
Yeah, he's gonna be a vegan and a pacifist, and we're just offending all.
Retaliation.
Yeah, but the police actually came and took him away. Mm-hmm. Like, I was fully expecting for them to come and take me away.
Yeah.
And say I was causing disturbance, and they didn't. They came and took him, and I just was like, I like had like my jaw dropped, like the kid in Home Alone or something. Like, oh, you know, I can't believe that just happened. But I fully expected to be arrested for it, and they didn't. They took the other dude, and they said they saw the whole thing. The guy's causing problems. I was like, you know, who are you, and what did you do with the other police officers that normally hide from?
Adam missed the brutality.
All these guys, you know, they're always saying, you know, go to war and make you more of a man, stand behind your gun. But any man who has to stand behind his gun is less of a man because you have to use something of such force to, you know.
Yeah, it's...
To try to be dominant, to try to be superior. That makes you feel
superior. Yeah,
because
when have we actually literally went to war where, like, you know, the men of the household are, like, here with their guns defending their family here in America? It's not the case. It's to go to these third world countries, take over, kill their families. So how does that make you a man?
Yeah, exactly. There's no guerrilla struggle like in the, you know, there's
no.
Not, it's not like there's a popular forces or any. No, it's about like imposing will and playing world police or whatever.
And instead of focusing these millions and all the attention in the war in these other countries, there is a struggle here.
Oh,
the struggle
exists
in the minority communities. You know, the struggle exists within the school systems.
Arkansas.
With the minorities, But there you go, another example as to where they focus, you know, on, like, keeping down and keeping with these minority areas. Either they keep their information secluded and all the information they want you to hear is the people that are taking them down.
And you could even take it a step forward and say that it's a class struggle because as much fun as I, you know, poke at, like, you know, like the certain culture, and I'm calling it redneck sometimes, is if we're saying, quote, poor white trash or something, if we realize that, like, that poor white people and poor, you know, people of color and poor people everywhere, it weren't so segregated, you're more of a viable political force then. Instead of, like, you have, like, the poorer white communities voting Republican.
Exactly. That's my point.
Yeah,
exactly.
So we wonder, what have they done for you? Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, and it's
they
like, wait a minute.
The Minutemen. It's the poor, you know, lower class.
The poor that are actually the Minutemen, yeah.
And if you realize that, if those people would realize that you're closer to Compton than you are to Washington, D.C., where George W. Bush lives, or you know,
suburbs,
wherever, you're way closer. But it's like, for some reason, there's that artificial block in people's mindset.
Yeah, they're voting. Yeah, they're voting Republican. They're voting to make these, you know, the rich people to have tax cuts, and they're forgetting. They're like, I'm white, I'm rich. No.
Right. No. And it,
actually,
you can trace this back to something called Shays Rebellion. For those people out there listening that are down with Howard Zinn, Shays Rebellion was an early rebellion on... In the slave country, basically, where indentured servants and slaves all got together and rebelled back against their masters. So these were people that were, there were Native Americans, there were white indentured servants, and there were black slaves who all got together and started kicking the crap out of their masters. And it was Shays Rebellion. Real quickly on, they realized, whoa, if all these people get together, we have a problem. And what they had to do was they created, like, these artificial standpoints where a indentured servant became different than a slave. So they had a better setup. So then right away you already created a gap in, you know, basically a divide and conquer thing. So you spread out all those peoples, and no longer could they get together and fight against one enemy. And you still see that kind of I'm not going to say that the gap is because of Shay's rebellion, because that would be a bold statement, but it's the same thing, you know.
But that's exactly what is going on. It's just like you said, it's like separating by classes. Like, okay, if you guys come together, well then we'll make, okay, you guys are white, however you may be poor, but you have this over them, you know. You have better,
it's no longer a color issue. Yeah, like, now minority is a mind state. It's like if you think different from a pro-America, you know, then you're also, you're classified now as a minority. It's like,
yeah,
no longer school color. Everybody has to come everybody has to come together, you know, no matter what color you are. if you're poor, if you want to, you know, overcome everybody trying to hold you down.
Definitely.
The poverty.
All right. Well, we're going to come back. We said we promised in the second hour with our information on the other stuff.
Yeah. And
there's really cool pictures here at Kill Radio. I'm looking over. We have Britney Spears in the corner. We have Bob Marley. Leonard Peltier. It's so funny. Like, it's a cool studio. And then, of course, Jello Biafra in the back. But let's move on. And we're going to kick it off with MC5 playing Rambling Rose live. And we'll be right back at you, and we're going to stop talking. You are listening to the Civil Disobedience Project at Kill Radio. The number for the station is 213-252-0998. And you can also instant message us here in a second when I reconnect to Kill Radio Station, and we hope to hear from you. Here's Rambling Rose.
Brothers, it's time to testify, and I want to know, are you ready to testify?